Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Over this last 2 years, there's not really been a lot that we've been able to celebrate in the way that we've wanted to celebrate, right? You know, people have celebrated weddings with just a handful of people. They've celebrated birthdays with no one else there. They've celebrated things virtually and online, and Christmas and, you know, all different types of things. And I believe that it's taught us a lesson. It's taught us to not take certain things for granted. Not be so quick at moving through life that we don't stop and value the things that are good. Because how many of you know, sometimes we can moan and we can complain about different things that we need to do. If there's a wedding, it's like, oh man, I've got to get a dress, I've got to get a, you know, a suit, I've got to go there, we've got to pay for this. If it's a birthday, it's, you know, or if it's whatever it is, sometimes Christmas, oh no, you know, different people have got to come. And they're things that we celebrate, right? But how do we celebrate stuff? I really believe that God wants to teach us again how to celebrate things in the right way. So let's pray together and then we're going to jump into this. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we're so grateful to you. We're grateful for salvation through Jesus Christ. We're grateful, God, that not only do we have birthdays where we can celebrate when we were born, but we have spiritual birthdays when we got saved so we can celebrate why we were born. And we were born to serve you, to know you, to love you, and be loved by you. Lord God, there is so much to celebrate in this life, that we've got breath in our lungs. Lord God, that we have each other, we have family and friends, that we live in a place right now in the UK where we can be free to worship you. We celebrate. Today is a day that, God, I pray you would teach us how to celebrate again and celebrate well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. I just want to set a scene here. And it says this from verse 27. It says, for the dedication of the new wall of Jerusalem, the Levites throughout the land were asked to come to Jerusalem to assist in the ceremonies. They were to take part in the joyous occasion with their songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals and harps and lyres. And then it goes on, and I want to skip forward to verse 43. And in verse 43 it says, many sacrifices were offered on that joyous day, for God had given the people cause for great joy. The women and children also participated in the celebration, and the joy of the people of Jerusalem could be heard far away. I want to let you know that celebration is a central and important aspect of spirituality. In the scripture that we just read, we see the celebration of finishing something. You know, if you've ever read the book of Nehemiah, you know that Nehemiah was a man who was in captivity. He was somewhere else working for the ruler of the world at that time. And he had a good position, he had a good job, he had a good role. But there was a burden that God placed upon his heart for his people and for his place of reference, Jerusalem. And God put that burden on his heart and he couldn't shake it. He had to go and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem that had been broken down. That was his calling. He was in a good job. And there's nothing wrong with having good jobs. Can someone in a good job say amen? But there was a calling of God upon his life that God wanted him to go and to do something for his people and for his kingdom. And so he went and they began to build. And you read through Nehemiah, it's an amazing, amazing book about building and rebuilding and how to do it. And he partnered with people and he pulled people in. And there were people that were building and battling and worshiping and praising all at the same time. We see that everyone had a section. And how many of you know that God gives you a section of life? He gives you a section, a place that he wants you to go and to rebuild something and build something. And we see that they did it after opposition and attacks from their enemies. And how many of you know, whenever you set out to do something good for God, you have an enemy. He's going to try and stop you. He's going to try and block you. He's going to try and, you know, divert you, distract you, and all of those things. right? I mean, if you know that, we're in a celestial war. You have to understand what this stuff around us that we see, this temporal stuff, is not all there is. There is a celestial world, a different dimension of being, and there are enemies battling for the souls of humanity. And when you get born again, you join that battle. You become a warrior, and you need to know the power that God has placed within every single born again, spirit-filled person upon the face of this earth. That when you come in the name of Jesus, that you come with the authority of the commander of the armies of heaven. You got to understand that. This ain't a game. But there they were. They had enemies coming against them. But they kept going. They kept persevering. They kept their eye on the call. They kept their eye on the prize. And they finished. I mean, if you know, I want to prophesy right now that a season has finished that this church has been through. There is a season that we've been through. There is a test, many tests that we underwent. But the test has been completed. The season is finished and a new season is beginning. That includes you that are part of the staff. That includes you that are in ministry. That includes you that have been coming. That even includes you that have been watching us faithfully online. There is a new season for your life and God is going to raise you up in a new way. They carried on, man. They kept going until they'd finished. Finishing something is better than starting it, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes. Amen. Anyone can start something. I think there's marathons on today. London Marathon and, you know, different marathons. Anyone can start one. Amen. Anyone can start a marathon. Or Snickers now, as they call it. It's finishing. So they finished well. And because they'd finished their season, they celebrated. They celebrated. And the thing is this, the things that we celebrate reveal a piece of who we are. What do you celebrate? I've seen people celebrate their football team scoring a goal. And they're jumping up and down. You see them on TV, jumping up and down. Friends with their arms around each other. And yet they come to church and they don't have a little whisper comes out of their mouth. But the things we celebrate reveal a piece of who we are and of what we value and believe in most. And life requires celebration for it to be lived well. We need times of joy and we need times of rest, not just times of battle and times of work. Can someone help me out and say amen? We need this because without it, it's not really the type of life that God created us to live. God didn't create us to live like we've been baptized in lemon juice. You don't want you as a Christian to walk around with your frown upside down. Come on, somebody, your smile upside down. He wants you to turn your frown upside down. He wants you to smile. He wants you to sing with jubilation and joy. He wants you to have fun. He wants church to be fun. He wants Christians to be fun. It's nothing worse than a boring, beige-wearing, coffee-breath, sandal-wearing, irrelevant Christian. Come on, somebody. Right? The only thing worse is a funky-looking, full sleeve, tattooed, funky hair, plucked eyebrows, skinny jeans wearing Christian. God don't care what you look like. He cares what comes from within. How much of you look like Jesus? We need to celebrate. And the biggest celebration comes from being reconnected to the Creator God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's a celebration. We can learn from the angels, man, who celebrate over one soul that gets saved. They celebrate. They know that that soul has been plucked from the fire, has been plucked from destruction, has been pulled back from nothingness, from nowhere, from emptiness, and they celebrate. Imagine the scenes. And that's why we gather together on this day, Sunday. That's why we gather together. We gather together in a community of believers to celebrate the resurrection. Because how many of you know, if Jesus hadn't rose from the dead, we'd just be boring religious people like everyone else. There'd be nothing of power in what it is. But how many of you know, Jesus Christ died like the Bible said, went down into the pit like the Bible said, and then rose from the grave like the Bible said. And because he lives, so can we live. Because he lives. It don't matter what happened yesterday or what happens today. We can face tomorrow because he lives. Man, I'm celebrating today. I don't know what you're doing. I'm celebrating Christ. I'm going to help you celebrate today. Huh? Some of you are like, but I'm an introvert. I'm clapping on the inside. I'm an introvert as well. How many of you know, sometimes the inside bursts out. We celebrate the resurrection, and we hope that, because we hope that we're going to experience it ourselves one day, right? We join together in community to rest from the madness of the world around us and learn to grow together. That's why we come to church. That's what church is all about. It's where you come away from all the madness. You come to celebrate your Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ together and learn from each other and help each other and pick each other up and hold each other to account and encourage each other. And you come with a word and a song and a psalm. Oh, you might not have to come up here and get on the pulpit, but you can do it where you're sitting. You can do it afterwards. You can go to a brother or a sister. You can say, let me pray for you. I've got a word for you. You know, the Bible said this to me today. And then we become true reflectors of the beauty of God. But you see this, celebration is an active state, right? It's an act of expressing reverence or appreciation. How do you celebrate in silence? You can't do it. In fact, where in the Bible does it say celebrate in silence? Where in the Bible? It doesn't. Every time you read the Psalms, every celebration, there are people shouting for joy. There are people playing instruments. There are people crying out to God. There are people dancing. When I was in Israel in 1999, we started a church in Jerusalem, myself and another pastor who's going to be with the Lord now. And I was running the home, and you know, I was there for the whole of the feast season, seven feasts. It's amazing. And we were there in Jerusalem, and we would go to the Western Wall. They call it the Wailing Wall, it's really the Western Wall. And we would go to the Western Wall right there, and in the feast. I've never, ever experienced anything like it in my life. You would have all of these religious Haredim, you know, the ones with the long sideburns in one section. You'd have the more you know, liberal, modern type of Jewish believers in another section by the wall. And then you'd have the women in another section by the wall. But it would be packed, man. And all of a sudden, they'd start to celebrate, and a cantor would come out, a rabbi or someone, and he'd start to sing the psalm. And all of these voices would just join in singing the Psalms in Hebrew. It was beautiful. And then all of a sudden, they'd start breaking out in dance. And these are men, man. These are men dressed up. They look religious. They look like religious men. They're religious men. A lot of them most of them are not even born again by the Spirit. Right? But they could put Spirit-filled believers in this country to shame. I'm not talking about charismania. I'm not talking about doing weird things, barking like dogs and, you know, meowing like cats and making tree shapes and falling on the floor and doing all that nonsense. Whoa. Remember them days people would pray for you, right? And you'd think, I've got to fall over. If the power of God hits you and you go to the floor, praise God. But I used to pray for people that'd be looking behind them, seeing if there was a catcher. We don't do all that, but they would jump, they would spin, they would be dancing together, they were celebrating because they know the power of celebration. It's an active state. You can't be passive. But the thing is this, instead of choosing to actively celebrate, many people choose to be entertained instead. They don't want to celebrate, they just want to be entertained. And to be entertained is a passive state. And there's too many passive people in the world around us. And there's too many passive people in the church of God. Don't let that be Victory Outreach. Let's not have that in Victory Outreach churches. Let's not just come passively to be entertained. Let's come actively to celebrate. Entertainment is where you receive pleasure. This is the definition, receiving pleasure afforded by an amusing act or spectacle. What? Is that what you want? Then you're not even part of the disciples, you're just one of the crowd. But I don't believe that's you. I don't believe that's what this church is about. I believe this is a celebrating church. I just think that we've got to get our celebration muscles active again. I think that after this last 2 years of lockdown, I believe that our muscles started getting a little bit weak. We forgot how to celebrate. You know, there was a time when we were told by legal writ, that we weren't even allowed to sing. We weren't allowed to chant. You couldn't touch anyone. You couldn't do this. Well, that day is done now. You can celebrate. You can jump, you can shout, you can scream, you can sing if you want. But don't just passively be entertained. The world around us has fallen into that trap. Right? How easy is it to live your life through someone else on screen instead of living your life? How is it for people to get into a box set to have their adventures with someone else doing it while they sit in their couch getting bigger and bigger? But we want to celebrate, man. Celebration is a confrontation of that entertainment spirit that gets you to just fall into its soft embrace and just fall to sleep and live an irrelevant life. And it points to the spiritual meaning of your life. There's real celebration and there's fake entertainment. Real celebration is about focusing on something valuable. And fake entertainment, it's about being distracted from what's valuable. One of Lucifer's most profitable tactics against God's ordained community is to make believers think that church should be entertaining. And if it's not entertaining, we're going to find somewhere else. If it hasn't got a screen, if the lights don't go dark in worship, if you ain't got a digital screen behind us, you know what I mean? If the technology is not as good as if you're going to a stage show, it's got to be entertaining, right? If it's not entertaining, I'm going to find somewhere else that is. And then people don't want to go to church no more. I spoke to a guy the other week who's he's involved in ministry. He's a young guy, and he said that he really didn't want to go to church anymore. He'd have to take something special for him to go to a church. I was shocked by that. I'm like, really? That's the state of people's mentalities. I understand that the whole idea of church and what it is needs to be reset, but not replaced. Because what else have you got? If you replace the church, what have you got left? Nothing. You just got a load of people running around, being their own God, their own king, choosing whatever scriptures they want to listen to, living the way they want to live, and putting a little veneer over it. I'm against that, man. I don't want to restart church how it was before COVID. I don't want to go back to traditions, and I don't want to go back to all that stuff. But I don't want to replace it. How many of you know there's a community of people that come to celebrate? Try celebrating on your own. Oh, wait, we have in lockdown. How many of you want your next birthday to be virtually? How many want to get married and have everyone just not be in there except being online? How many of you want that? No one. Amen. So we need to celebrate. Believers, we're called to gather together to celebrate. But if it's not entertaining, some people don't want to come. If their needs are not met, they'll take their toys and their tithes and they'll look for someone else that tickles their fancy. If their click don't turn up, they're not going to turn up either. Where's the celebration of Jesus Christ? Where's the celebration of being born again by the Spirit? Where's the celebration of coming with like-minded people and just praising the living God? Man! But there's too many options, right? You can stay home and watch Netflix. Oh, I missed Match of the Day last night. I'm going to watch it this morning. I'll watch the service, but at a time of my convenience. I'm going to celebrate you, God, when it suits me. There's no faith in being an entertainment-oriented Christian. And ultimately, there's no reward for that type of mindset either. Celebration's a powerful thing. And I want to give us three things real quick that it achieves, right? And then we're going to celebrate. Then at the end, I'm going to mess people up. I'm going to get the choir back up. And the choir are going to sing again. Amen? And the rest of us are going to stand, and we're going to join the choir. And if you're online, you're going to join the choir as well. You're going to turn off the kettle. You're just going to let the oven do its thing. Hello. Kids can play. Do what you got to do. And we're going to join in and we're going to celebrate. Because today is a day of celebration. It's not just that it's our 18th anniversary of the church, 19th anniversary of two ex-drug addicts, two ex-criminals that came together because of Jesus Christ and married and have stayed together for 19 years. Two ex-junkies that have got two beautiful kids that have got churches all over the place. It's not just that we're celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ can transform people's lives. We're just celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Are you ready to celebrate with me later on? We're going to get down, man. We're going to party together in the Holy Ghost. It's all right. First thing celebration does is creates connection. You got to understand, celebration creates connection. Because celebration at its core is the practice of choosing to be truly present in the most important times of our lives. That's what it is. You're there. When something good has happened, you're present. And you're choosing to be present and to be there at that time. Look at Jesus, right? Some people saying, well, I'm too busy. I'm too driven. I've got too many things to do, too many things to achieve. You don't think Jesus had a lot to do. He had to undo the works of the enemy. He had to make a public spectacle of all of the false gods. You know, he had to die. Hello. Go into the grave, rise from the dead. You know what I mean? It's not like he was having an easy time of it. He could just chill out, kick back and just relax. You know what I mean? Right? He had demons to cast out. He had sick people to heal. Teachings to bring about. But if you look at him, he didn't live his life at a pace where he was so preoccupied with his agenda that he didn't connect with what was happening in the people around him. He connected in their lives, man. He's on his way somewhere. Right? Synagogue ruler, Jairus, my daughter's sick. Come on. All right, I'll come with you. All of a sudden, he's walking through the crowd. Woman with an issue of blood creeps in like a ninja, goes down on her knees, touches the hem of his garment. He could have just brushed it off. There were loads of people touching him, jostling him and all the rest of it. But he turned around and went, who touched me? And his disciples were like, what's the matter with you, man? There's loads of people touching you. Yeah, they're touching me, but she touched me. You know what I mean? They're just jostling me, but she's touched my heart. She's touched me. She's touched my power. She's touched me with faith. They're all touching me for amusement. They're touching me for entertainment. But she's celebrating the fact that I am who I say I am. And she believes that if she can just touch me, then her problems are going to be dealt with. How many times was he on his way somewhere else and something happened and he just stopped and dealt with that one thing? Blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy on me. Stop. Bring him to me. Right? He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's going on his way. He's doing stuff. But every single person is important. Celebrate people. Celebrate the moments. And also, he weren't so bent out of shape about what was wrong in the world that he couldn't stop and notice what was right in the world. I mean, you know, there's bad stuff happening all the time. If you want bad stuff to stop, turn the news off. Huh? All they want to talk about is bad stuff. You know why? Because it does something inside of your chemicals. It produces a chemical that is addictive. Right? Everyone wants to know what bad's happening. Oh. Are you with me? Where's coronavirus gone now? Oh, it's been burnt up in global warming all of a sudden. Right? No, it's nothing about coronavirus, and the next thing, the earth's melting. Bad news is everywhere, but how many of you know, in the midst of that, there's good things happening. There's people coming off of drugs, there's families getting back together, there's people getting born again. Good things are happening. Celebrate! There are people that sung on the choir that haven't done anything for a long time, and they got up here on this platform in front of you, quaking in their boots, and celebrated Jesus. Jesus enjoyed a wedding feast. In fact, the first miracle he did was when someone underordered the wine. Are you with me? They got the bar bill wrong. They ran out of wine at their wedding. And Jesus weren't like, oh man, I've got a world to save. They came to him, they said, listen, all the wine's run out. Why are you coming to me? What's the matter with you? Why are you coming to me? Well, you're Jesus, aren't you? You know, everything was created through you. You've got to be able to do something. Oh, come on, woman, what's the matter with you? Right? People celebrating. Why did he turn it into wine? Why didn't he just say, oh, you shouldn't drink? Anyway, because it was a celebration. Jesus is into celebrating good stuff. He spent time with children, didn't he? Disciples wanted to pull the kids away. Right? Don't go near him. You know, when I come into church, I have kids come up to me. I take time with them. I could walk through. I'm the man of power for the hour. I have an appointment with the Holy Spirit. I have to be there at the front on the pulpit. I need to be seen by the people. I'm the leader. But they're like, hey, Pastor Paul. And I'm like, oh, my heart melts. I'm like, all right, chicken, how you doing? Huh? Why? I'm celebrating their joy. I'm celebrating the fact they even recognize me. I walk past some adults, they don't even say hello. I'm celebrating that. It's all right. Jesus did that. Let's not be so caught up in our agenda that we can't celebrate people. Your hair looks nice. You look great. Have you lost some weight? Even if they haven't. Even if it's like they've lost a gram or something, you know what I mean? Everyone loses a couple of grams in the morning. Right? Or a couple of pounds, depends. Jesus was present to the sacred things that were happening in the moments that happen in everyday life. The key takeaway is that people who celebrate together stick around for each other. When you pray together, when you worship together, when you serve together, remember to celebrate together. And then you'll grow closer together because you're all involved in something that's valuable and meaningful. It might create some memory and you grow together. The second thing is that celebration marks progress. Celebration marks progress. And it's important to celebrate the little wins as well as the big wins. Sometimes we only want to celebrate the birthday that happens once a year. What about celebrating the morning you woke up with breath in your lungs? What about celebrating the fact that you woke up this morning and you were okay and you were able to come to church and you had enough money to get to church however you came, that you were able to celebrate, that you had clothes in your wardrobe that you could wear? Oh, they might not all be designer clothes. They might not be the newest label or the newest fashion. But the fact is, you're not walking here covered in bags. Plastic bags. Are you with me? Celebrate. Wake up in the morning and say, I celebrate a new day of life. Hallelujah. Start celebrating the small wins as well as the big wins and start marking some of these things off. Because progress counts for something. Celebrate the fact that you've been 57 days without a drink. It's only 57 days, it's not 365 days, but it's okay. Celebrate the fact. Are you with me? Progress counts. Progress counts if it's going in the right direction.
The Israelites celebrated the seven feasts of the Lord to show the progress of God building a people for himself. When the rest of the nations of the world were worshipping fallen celestial beings, corrupt angels and earthbound demons, the Israelites celebrated being God's called out chosen people. And they celebrated it at different times for different reasons. We need to learn from this. Now, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to learn to celebrate the fact that we're a part of the congregation of the saints. The called out ones, his ecclesia in Greek, that are called out from the world, that are ready to come to be with him forever. Celebrate together. You got a brother, you got a sister sitting next to you. Celebrate the fact that they can worship the same living God. Then number three, last one. Celebration builds momentum. Celebration builds momentum. How many of you know it's hard to lose weight? It's hard to get fit. Come on. It's hard to graduate from a course. It's hard. Why? Because we look at it, we try it, and we're like, we want to be ahead of where it is that we're at in reality. So, you know, you're going on a diet. So you haven't eaten anything since breakfast. And you get on the scales and you're like, I haven't lost no weight. I'm going to give up. Celebrate the fact that you've gone a day without it, that you've changed your eating habit, that you started at the gym. Celebrate the fact that you've done two sessions this week. Celebrate. Celebrate. Because the more you celebrate, the more it will replicate. Are you with me? What's celebrated is replicated. When you celebrate a person for doing well, they're going to do well. It's that Ubuntu stuff that they talk about in Africa. You know what I mean? I don't know whether this is a myth or not, but, you know, Ubuntu. Where if someone messes up, all the village gets around him and starts telling him good things about themselves. They don't go around and start poking a finger, say, you naughty, horrible, you know, terrible person. You know, what's the matter with you? You messed up. They're like, you're a good man. You're a good person. Your mother was good. Your father was good. Your teeth are nice. Your hair looks good. Are you with me? And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get them reconnected with the good instead of just being overwhelmed by the bad. And sometimes we need to celebrate just a little bit. Celebrate the first step. Celebrate the second step. Celebrate the little wins. Celebrate it because it builds momentum. Because the more you're making progress in the right direction, the easier it is to continue to make progress. Oh, help me out, Father. What's celebrated is replicated. Look at holiness being sanctified, right? I believe that churches that celebrate living for God see more people doing it. They see more people living for God in the right way than churches that celebrate compromise. Because what you celebrate will be replicated, right? What do you celebrate in your life? You celebrate holiness? You celebrate being sanctified? You celebrate being set apart? I celebrate the fact that I'm drug-free, I'm alcohol-free, I'm cigarette-free, I'm pornography-free. I celebrate the fact that I'm married to one woman for 19 years and have eyes for no one else. I celebrate that. And then hopefully the people that are around me start to replicate that. That's why we see so many people transformed in our homes. Because me and Vicky model it. Someone said to me, why don't you drink? Why don't you smoke? You know, you can do what you want. Why don't you do that stuff? Is it because you're afraid of becoming an alcoholic? No, it's because I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want people to replicate freedom. Are you with me? That's why we model it. That's why we celebrate it. We're not rubbing people's noses in it, but we're celebrating it. It works. Celebration. Richard Foster, in his classic book, Celebration of Discipline, said this. He said, celebration is central to all the spiritual disciplines. Without a joyful spirit of festivity, the disciplines become dull, death-breathing tools in the hands of modern Pharisees. We don't celebrate God in the right way and celebrate prayer and celebrate fasting and celebrate reading the Word of God and celebrate worship and celebrate praise and celebrate sacrificial generosity. If we don't celebrate that stuff, then people just become dull. It becomes dead. It becomes boring. It becomes useless. Celebrate it. There's loads of things to celebrate. How about ethnicity? That was a big one this last year or so, wasn't it? Ethnicity. Huh? Massive divides. You know, now you've got people celebrating their blackness. Right? Praise God. Celebrate it. Celebrate the colour of your skin. Fantastic. Praise God. Amen. Celebrate it. And me as a white person, I'm going to celebrate that as well. I love the fact that there are some of you that are black, some of you are African, some of you from West Indies. I love the fact of that. I'm not just going to tolerate it. I'm going to celebrate it. Why? Because it's valuable. It's valuable to you. Are you with me? I also celebrate the fact that I'm white. There's nothing wrong with me being white. Are you with me? I didn't have a pole in heaven before I was born. And they're like, tick this box, white or black? I was like, oh, I want to be white. It's not how it works, man. You just pop out and there you are. And you're like, oh. And you don't even know what color you are till you're about 7. Are you with me? See little kids together. They're not going, you're black, I'm white. Celebrate ethnicity. Celebrate education. Celebrate it. We celebrate education here amongst our young people. We celebrate it. Go and get a degree. Go and learn. Go and grow. Go and develop. We celebrate it. We celebrate people when they write books. We celebrate people when they graduate the home. We celebrate people when they start a business. We celebrate people's birthdays. We celebrate their anniversaries. We celebrate their marriages. We want to celebrate. At the cross, there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. Right? Yet at the throne in heaven, the Bible says there are men and women from every tongue, tribe, and nation. God celebrates diversity. Amen? There's unity and diversity all in the same thing. And it's learning to celebrate both in the right way. We could celebrate our uniqueness better. We'd be able to celebrate our unity much better. I believe that everything God does should be celebrated. I believe that celebration is not just an attitude, but it's something we have to enact. It's not just a thing that you allude to in your mind. It's something that you actually have to engage in. No point sitting there when everyone's jumping up and down and you're sitting there like, you know, celebrate. Celebrate. Act it. Laugh. Sing. Dance. Pastor James said he's not going to join the choir because he can't sing, but he can dance, man. Let me tell you. He's got moves. Better than Jagger. Huh? Wherever it is, man. Celebrate. Be free. Do it how you want to do it. If you want to do it quietly, it's okay. But just don't do it. Just don't not do it. The psalmist describes the joy-filled celebration of the people of God, complete with timbrel and dance and trumpet and lute and harp, with strings and pipe and loud clashing cymbals. And at times of celebration, we are to celebrate. When you do it, it builds momentum. Joy begets joy. There's nothing wrong with that. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with that. Laughter begets laughter. And celebration brings wholeness and completeness to a situation. Would you stand with me right now? I want the choir to come back. Hallelujah. Messing you up.
want the mics to come back. I'm going to move this stuff out of the way. Someone's going to come and help me. Come on, guys. Come up. Don't wait. Let's go. How many of you know sometimes you just got to mess with the ordered routine? Sometimes celebration doesn't fit into, you know, constraints. Sometimes you just got to celebrate. Sometimes you just got to be able to lift up your voice and lift up your hands and lift up a dance to the Lord. Sometimes if you want to spin, spin. If you want to jump, jump. If you want to shout, shout. If you want to smile, smile. But come on, let's celebrate, man. While they're getting prepared, I want you to start to just praise God where you're at right now. I want you to praise Him out loud, not in your mind. Not in your mind. Start to praise Him out loud. Start to thank Him out loud. Start to celebrate the fact that you're alive today. Start to celebrate the fact that even though things have been dark, today there's light. Start to celebrate that even though you were lost, now you're found. Start to celebrate. Celebrate. See how some of you are struggling with it? Your muscles, your celebratory muscles have atrophied. You're struggling to celebrate, man. Have you got nothing to celebrate? Have you got nothing to celebrate? Can't you celebrate the fact that you're alive? Can't you celebrate the fact that you're good looking? Can't you celebrate the fact that God gave you a face like that? Come on, somebody. Can't you celebrate the fact that you're going to eat today? Can't you celebrate the fact that you're going to heaven? Can't you celebrate? Hallelujah. Who wants to join me here and celebrate? Who wants to come down the front and help us celebrate? Let's make an aura of celebration. Let's get out of our norm. Let's get out of our usual mode. Let's get out of our safe space. And let's celebrate.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website vomanchester.org.uk for more information.